Hello, Cincinnati! Welcome to this episode of our podcast. This week we have longtime good friend Brian Thomas on board. He is a Cincinnati boy through and through and has always loved the Reds. With it being midseason in the MLB, what we are doing this week is our midseason awards for the Cincinnati Reds players, on top of a few little golden nuggets that we've got coming right at you. So how about that, Redlegs fans? What do you say we get this thing started? I just sold out to the perfect condition. Coming alive! Whoa!
Have with us this evening Brian Thomas, who is a longtime Reds fan, and as I've known him over the past, 40 years, seems to be in touch with Reds baseball as much as anybody I know.
And he's really good at kung fu fighting.
As my younger days.
Oh, you've matured since then.
Yes, I think so.
I don't know, dude, because we went to Keeneland in the fall, and I remember walking into the entrance gate. We're all standing in line. I look over to the right, and I see Brian Thomas just sliding up through the line in the crowd, just talking to people. Hey, what's up, dude? What's up? Yep. What's up? Of course, he was the first one through the gate. In fact, I got a video of it. I got a video of you sliding up there, drinking your beer, just talking to the person on your left, talking to the person on your right.
That's not kung fu fighting, though. So that's just, you know.
That's Brian Thomas. He's like a chameleon.
Just being a smooth operator.
I think he's wearing the glasses because he thinks it makes him look more mature.
Yeah.
But I got a question before we get started, Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
I just had come across my phone. It's beyond time, sir, for conflicted MLB to lift Pete Rose ban. Open path to Hall bid. Where do you weigh in on that?
I would say since they have now aligned themselves with the gambling apps, I'm not sure what the official MLB one is, if they're DraftKings or FanDuel, but they're pretty much in bed with the gamblers. I think he's paid his penance.
You think he's served his time?
I think he served his time. He's, 84 years old now, I think he just turned.
So are you telling me that if you were standing just outside Great American Ballpark, you might be able to see a sports book somewhere?
I believe there's one inside the ballpark, if I'm not mistaken.
Did you see one in Chicago, Clayton, when we were?
Yeah, because I took a video of it and I sent it to Berman.
Oh, so we can have sports books in baseball stadiums.
Yeah.
We can have Shohei Ohtani. Clay throw his interpreter under the bus.
Right.
Right? Like we all know that he didn't bet on baseball. Yeah, I believe that one. You now have gambling inside your ballparks, and yet he's an issue.
I think that's a good way to put it. I never thought about that. Like, if they're aligning with betting and putting that in the games, why shouldn't Pete get his crack at the Hall? And if you're going to give it to the guy, at least give it to him while he's alive, because you know what's going to happen. He'll pass away, and then they'll be like, oh, okay, we'll let him into the Hall of Fame. Like, let him get the enjoyment out of it, man.
All right, I got one more question for you before we get started on the midseason awards, Thomas.
All right. I have one question for you before we get started, but you go ahead.
I believe in one of your texts yesterday that you made the statement that the youth should not be an excuse for lack of fundamentals, especially the defense.
Well, number one, they should have a pretty good handle on that before they get to the major leagues. Definitely in the minor league system, and you should have a consistent approach top down, from AAA down to rookie ball, on what your approach is going to be. If you want to be uber aggressive on the bases, which they seem to be now with the rule changes that came into place last year, you know, you're going to make again the physical errors, but the just the blunders they make, the pick. How many times are they getting picked off first base? That's one that gets me the most.
Well, I would say that the other thing that concerns me is you say that physical errors are going to happen, but I see Ellie make some of the most phenomenal plays athletically,
mm-hmm.
turn around and just make a blunder out of an easy play.
Again, over this past month, they played the first half of June pretty well. I think he said today with the split with St. Louis, it's been about a month, I think, since they've actually won a series. Probably in Ellie's case, he's so good athletically. I think the routine plays, he felt like he was lazy or gets lazy. But the spectacular player where he's got to go deep in the hole and uncork that throw. I mean, he obviously has the tools and can make those plays. He's made some phenomenal plays this year. The mental errors of thrown to the wrong base. That comes from the coach. You say, I probably needs to be in the minors, but should be emphasized from the major league staff. As you said, we're seeing the same mistakes over and over again. And we're, what, 85, 86 games into this season?
And well, he should have learned from Paul O'Neill, who had one of the highest fielding percentages in the league. If you just don't get to the ball, you don't get an error.
Well, that's exactly right.
So what's your question for us?
So my question is, probably what, a few weeks ago, MLB decided to recognize the Negro League stats and records and make them part of the overall MLB. A couple days ago on the news up here, Joe Nuxall is now no longer the youngest player to appear in a major league game. Roy Campanella did. What's your opinion of including those stats in? It's kind of a double-edged sword. Those guys weren't playing in the major leagues when some of the major league records were set. But again, I'm not sure the level of competition. There's some crazy batting averages that are coming in, single season batting averages that are coming in as a result of that. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's a challenge both ways. As you said, it's a double-edged sword from the perspective that, you know, they were professionals. I don't know how many teams there were in their league versus the traditional Major League Baseball at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, if it makes everybody feel better about life, go ahead and put them in. And I'm going to revert back to states' rights. Each person's a state, and they can decide for themselves to acknowledge it when they read the records or not.
Well, here you go. Prime example. Before that, who has the most hits? Is it Pete Rose or is it Ichiro? There was a debate for a while. They said Ichiro because they included his Nippon Professional Baseball League hits combined with his MLB hits. But if you look at strictly MLB hits, if I'm not mistaken, it's Pete Rose.
It's definitely Pete Rose if you look at, yeah, MLB / United States, I guess, since the Negro League records are in there. But yeah, that's a good point, because I remember when they had that debate, especially when he was, because he wound up with over 3,000 hits, I think, in the majors. And technically, if you add his Japanese League hits in, he does have more than what Pete had.
All right, you want to kick this off? What's the first award we're going to give out? Well, I guess we're not really giving anything out, but yeah. Armchair expert version of midseason awards.
Well, we'll save the first one I put down for last, and we'll start with the Cy Young candidate on the Reds for the team as of, what do we sit here, June 30th?
Yeah, June 30th today.
Best starting pitcher the Reds have as of right now.
Outside of a few injuries, he's currently hurt, I'd have to say Lodolo.
I would agree with that. The injuries, though.
Doesn't that factor in availability?
Yeah, it does. That's what kind of.
It does. And I think when I look just because I think the qualification for the Cy Young is basically 162 innings. I think you have to average, you know, you have to have an inning pitch for every game. Only two guys qualify currently. I think Hunter Green and Abbott are the only ones that have, what have they played? 85 or 90 games, I think, something like that. And I think they're both at like 95, 100 innings, and no one else has enough innings to qualify. So if you want to go from, it'd be between Green and Abbott if you want to.
Who has the lowest ERA of those two?
I believe Abbott, but it's pretty close.
I can confirm that. It's sitting in front of me. Yep, it's Abbott. Abbott's at 3.41. Green is at 3.7.
But he probably brought that down a little bit today.
I was about to say, like, the question is if what I'm looking at is reflective of today's game or not. Given that, I'm going to agree with you on Lodolo, barring injury. But for the minimum innings pitched qualification, I'm going to have to go with Abbott.
I'm going to have to go with Abbott as well. I think Lodolo, when he's available, is lights out and as electric as anybody on the staff. But not unlike when playing fantasy football with Christian McCaffrey. Availability comes into play for me.
Yep. On that qualification, I think I'd go with Abbott too. He's been more consistent. Green's had some stretches, but he's also had, you know, he kind of struggles with this, and he did so again today with the pitch count.
So if you look at Bell's pattern when it concerns pulling the pitcher, I keep hearing that Martinez, as an example, is a long reliever, right? Or a flexible. But yet, not unlike today, it seems like we use some of the setup guys one inning, bring in another one the next inning, bring in another one the next inning. And before you know it, we've used four pitchers, sometimes five, to finish out a game. And I look today, there aren't many Reds averaging six innings or more on the starting pitching side. What if we, if we're going to go with a pattern of you pitch every fifth day as a starter, what if we just took two guys, take Martinez, and we've, when Lodolo comes back, we have six starters on the team, pick your guy. And Martinez and that guy pitches 2 to 3 innings twice a week, thereby reducing the usage of your setup pitchers. And then when we get to the end of the season, like last year, 2023, maybe we're not saying, hey, our relievers are tired.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Balancing that pitching staff, it's tough.
Yeah, but I think if you actually use your long reliever as a long reliever, A, and you, I mean, he came in, I think, for one inning the other night, shit the bed, and we lose the game. And a tie, it was tied. They bring him in the eighth, and next thing you know, we lose. Why not let him be a long reliever like he's supposed to be?
Yeah.
And then put one other guy there, and then you can minimize the wear and tear on the rest of the bullpen.
Lord knows they need help with that. At the rate we're going with injuries, position players and pitchers, sweet baby Jane.
Sticking with the pitching staff, who would you say has been the fireman of this staff as far as relievers go?
That was probably the toughest question, I could say.
Well, hold on. What's your definition of fireman?
It's best reliever, the guy you want to shut down a team in a critical situation.
I think in that case, it's probably Cruz.
Nope.
You think it's Cruz?
Sam Maul.
Well, then the injury factor comes into play.
That was only one little stint at the beginning of the season.
Oh, that was it?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, he did that today, and then Cruz came in and promptly gave up a hit, I think.
So I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know which way it is, but when Cruz comes in, it's like he's lights out when he inherits runners, but he struggles when he comes in to start an inning and it's a fresh inning. It's one of the two, but like he does better in one of the situations versus the other.
I think he's been better with the inherited runners now. Now today, I think he came in and I think it was a little flare. I was listening on the radio, so I didn't see it, but he did give up a hit, but I think it was kind of a little flare, kind of a cheap hit.
Have you heard his backstory?
Bits and pieces. I know he's, 33, 34 years old, and really last year was his first significant time.
He was a position player.
Oh, okay.
I guess he got drummed out at one point, and he was going to work a regular job or thinking about it, and he said, you know what, I'm going to give it one more shot. I'm going to come back as a pitcher, and he learned how to throw that split finger. And that's when it all clicked for him. So you got to give him credit for having the heart to stick with it.
I don't know, but he has some filthy pitches.
So does Maul. And I've seen those up close in person.
Maul's got some filth too. I mean, he just – some of those pitches he throws.
So, John, who's your fireman?
I would say at this point in time, I would have to go with Sam Maul.
All right, well, moving on to the next question.
Yeah.
Considering the fact that the Reds' offense is kind of like icy hot, they'll score 12 runs one day and get two hits, and that's it the next day. Who's your Silver Slugger Award?
Overall, I would give it to Ellie De La Cruz. Just Well, I mean, in comparison to the rest of the team, he's second to Candelario in homers. Batting average isn't great. Strikeouts obviously are terrible. But he's got the doubles, the triples. He's got the highest, I think, OPS. I'm not sure if he still has the highest slugging or not. But from that standpoint he kind of makes the offense go when he has those games where he has, a couple hits or a couple walks and a hit and gets on base. He's got the 40 steals now. That was where I was leaning. Nobody on this team is going to challenge for a real Silver Slugger Award in the majors this year, but among the team, that was my choice.
So wait a minute. Are you a home run guy? You buy into that theory? Let's get the guys. Let's get some home run bats in the lineup.
Not necessarily. One of your later questions is just make contact. I mean, this they are horrible at making contact.
There is one of my biggest issues with the team. I am a pitch for contact and swing for contact kind of guy.
Yep.
Batting average, if you're going on the contact theory, I don't see how you can't give this guy the Silver Slugger Award at this point, given his performance the last few weeks to a month, would be Jonathan India, who has been absolutely on fire at the plate.
I'd give him the Silver Slugger for June.
Yeah. Yeah, before that, it wasn't good.
If you're going to give him the Silver Slugger for June, how long has it been that Candyman's been hitting? Because I can tell you, he was sucking like a drain for the first month and a half or 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Who wasn't?
Fair enough. But to your point, who's got the higher batting average now? India or the Candyman?
India by 30 points.
I will say this. You pick anyone you want. But if Steer is not the answer by the end of this season, the Reds will not be in the playoffs.
I 100% agree with that. Yep.
Write that down.
He hits the ball hard, man. His average doesn't reflect his performance at the plate, to be honest with you.
Yeah, he's hit the ball hard at some people.
Stevenson's in the same boat. He's batting 240, but he's in the same boat. He's not striking out a ton.
Got a candidate for the Golden Glove Award there, Thomas.
Was a tough one. I wrote two names down. I wrote Friedel down, but he's been out so much, so you got the injury bug. And then I said Stevenson. I think he's done a pretty good job behind the plate.
Oh, there was an answer I wasn't expecting.
All right, so you said Friedel's out, so you took him out on the qualification status, which may hamper what I'm about to say, but I'm going to go with Stu. Fairchild's robbed a lot of home runs, buddy.
I'm going to make another statement. If Steer needs to be the answer for the Silver Slugger Award for the Reds to be successful by the end of the season, I'm going to say TJ Friedel needs to be the answer for the Golden Glove Award if they're going to make a serious run, because he makes that defense go out there in the outfield.
Well, that requires him to quit having bad luck with injuries. Guy can't catch a break. No pun intended.
Yeah.
That's not what you did there, Sparky.
Yeah, that wasn't intentional, honestly. Even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while.
That's right.
Well, I guess we've talked about this already, talking about offense and defense. Who's the most improved?
I think if we're going from last year to this year, I think Stevenson.
I think that's what you're going to say.
Yeah.
Who's got the most room to improve on the team?
Will Benson. This is one I looked up too. He's got the highest strikeout percentage. He's at like 39.5% of his plate appearances he strikes out. Next closest guy, and there's a bunch of them in this range, is at 35%. So he's 4 percentage points ahead on the strikeout rate versus the next worst guy in the majors.
I like that answer.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Benson.
So who on this team, I think this is an obvious answer, but who on this team has the highest baseball IQ?
Oh, I know what your answer is. It's probably the same as mine.
This is a no-brainer for me.
I think Spencer Steer.
Yep.
Ding, 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 ding.
Well, that was a quick one.
Yeah.
That was the first consensus, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
You got the next one, Sparky?
What Reds are deserving of an all-star experience? Let me guess, Thomas is going to say Ellie.
Major League Baseball wants him there.
Well, obviously they want him there because he puts butts in the seats.
Yep.
Show me the green.
That's why we were saying who's most deserving.
Probably Steer. From a deserving standpoint, he's going to flirt with 100 RBIs this year. His power feels like it's down a little bit from last year. I can't remember. What did he wind up with in home runs last year? Do you have?
Oh, look, right now he's got 10 home runs and 51 RBIs. Last year, he had 23 home runs and 86 RBIs. So he's right on track.
Yeah.
But look, you say his power's down with the home runs, but the way I look at it is, if you watch him play, I mean, he had a little bit of a slump there where he was striking out more, which is uncharacteristic of him. Again, we get back to the baseball IQ and him protecting the plate. That's part of baseball IQ. But when he hits the ball, he's tagging it. I'm about to use a term I loathe, but his launch angle isn't as high as it was last year. He's hitting more line drives, which me personally, I would rather have the line drives, put the damn ball in play and make the defense make a play. Unfortunately, when he hits it, it's just at him, which is why his batting average is down and his home runs are down. Now, with the whole launch angle thing being said, I think the MLB's starting to kind of taper away from that crap and wanting the home run hitters, just like you can see everyone bunting a lot more all of a sudden. And as Graham surmised, and I would probably agree with, that maybe a TJ Friedl effect and the success Friedl's had bunting the ball the last couple of years as to why the MLB's starting to get back into bunting.
The launch angle thing, you're right. I don't hear that term near the amount of time that I used to.
Thank God, because it makes me want to puke.
All right, you got the game on the line, Thomas. Bottom of the ninth, two outs, runners on base. Who do you want at the plate for you?
It's the guy we were just talking about.
Wait, you said how many on base? Base is loaded?
Yep, base is loaded.
I went with Steer.
I'm not going to disagree with you, but it's hard to argue against Friedl.
He's not available right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of why I left Friedl out. I mean, if Friedl was here all year, because I think Friedl's got a pretty high baseball IQ as well.
He does.
It's just his availability, just the dumb luck with the injuries.
We're going to reverse that situation. We are the defense in the bottom of the ninth. You got to bring in a pitcher from the bullpen for the Reds. With the game on the line, bases loaded, two outs, you need one out. Who's your man?
I mean, last year I would have said Diaz, but I don't know what Kool-Aid him and his brother drank together this offseason, but neither of them are as hot as they were last year. So I'm going to have to go with the person I mentioned earlier, which is Sam Moll.
And I would say I've leaned towards Cruz. Just he's done well with inherited runners. Again, I have, for some reason or other, I just have not seen Moll pitch a lot this year. I don't know why.
Let me ask you, how many games have you watched? If you've only watched three games.
No, I've been to about five, and I probably watched half of them on TV. So
more than half.
I was at the game when Billy the Backflipper took the field, but I didn't see him take the field live. We were actually on our way out.
Oh, you missed the best part.
I know. And I know the kid. I know the kid's parents.
That explains a lot, actually.
In fact, his mom babysits one day a week for Mackenzie's kids.
How happy, how proud was she when she found out about that?
I don't think she was real, real proud. Dad's wondering about his judgment. But that was a crazy story because I knew a lot of the players involved with that.
Oh, well, I don't know. I don't think this question's on here, but greatest spectacle so far this year in a Reds game, that's it.
Oh, it has to be. And whoever that photographer was should win. He should win some sort of photography awards because he captured the flip perfectly and the tase hit him perfectly.
Although I was disappointed to learn the judge questioned whether he landed that backflip.
I heard he was basically was sober. I don't know if it was a dare. I've heard a couple wild stories about it that through one of the offshore betting things, you can bet if someone's going to run on the field. So maybe his buddies had a bet on it. I don't know. There's some crazy stories going around, but I want to know why he didn't, why he took his shoes off. Because if you look at the pictures, especially when he's in the backflip, he's got just socks on.
Hold on, one quick question about that. What's funnier, that or the Hawk Tua girl?
Oh.
But she was on. She got on stage with Zach Bryan last night.
I know.
Sounds like she's got a pretty simple solution for getting over relationships. You said I have a parking lot.
Oh, man. All right. One game playoff. Back to the topics at hand. One game playoff. Who's your starting pitcher and what is your lineup? Wait a minute. We're going to say, given everyone's healthy that didn't start the season with a season-ending injury, so Matt McClain would be off the list.
Okay.
I'm guessing you're going to run Lodolo out there then.
I was going to run Lodolo out. Yep. I have Friedel in center. I was batting India second. Then I had Steer, Ellie. I've got Marte in there playing third. Candyman at DH, Fraley and Wright, Stevenson catcher. And I was torn with my ninth place guy, which was going to be my left fielder. Because I hate to say Benson, but
what?
That seems to be where he slots in.
And in left field?
Left field. I had him in left. I had Fraley in right, Friedel in center.
I don't know if I can have the same batting order. I don't know there's a – at this juncture with his strikeouts, there's a world in which I can bat Ellie fourth. That's just not happening in my lifetime. So Friedel would be first in the batting order. Have no issue with India second, Spencer Steer third. Is Spencer playing first for us?
I had him first, yes.
Your pick, dude.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to mix it up a little bit, and I'm going to put Spencer in the outfield. I'm going to put Candyman at first. So that's four. And I'm going to bat Fraley fifth in the outfield. And so I have Stevenson. We'll go with him next. Marte. And I'm going to bat Ellie last.
You going with the double leadoff on the speed factor?
I am.
When it ropes back around to the first leadoff guy?
Absolutely. At the end of the day, I thought that if rather than platoon Friedel early in the season, that's what they should have been doing with him last year. They finally got smart, I guess, in the last, third of the season, quarter of the season, and started playing him every day. But there was no reason that he should have been platooning. If you had an issue with him batting leadoff, dropping to the ninth spot when it's a left-handed pitcher out there. Like that was one of the most ridiculous mistakes that coaching staff made.
Ed, did you know Friedel was top five in the major leagues against left-handed pitchers last year, batting average-wise?
I knew he was up there. And I think when they started playing him every day, I think they still dropped him to eighth against left-handers.
Yep.
Done that at the beginning of the season, the knuckleheads.
Yeah, we'll call that ABC. We'll explain that one to you later. All right, I guess it's my turn. We're going to go Fried on center, batting second, playing second, India. Batting third would be Spencer Steer. I'm going to put him at first base. Fourth, I'm going with Stevenson. I just like how hard he hits the ball. And if you got guys on base in front of him, he's got no problem putting it into right field. Fifth would be, I guess it's going to be Candyman, DH. And you know what? No, switch that. Fifth would be Fraley and right. Sixth would be Candyman, DH. Seven would be Marte at third, and I'm going with him at seven because I really don't have a lot of background on him and how he's going to perform this year. So, but that adds some pop to the back half of that lineup. Eighth is going to be Stuart Fairchild in left field because I want that defense out there. I want him and Friedel roaming the outfield. And then ninth, I'm going to go with the double leadoff, Elliot Short.
Who's your pitcher?
If he's healthy, the way he's pitching this year, it's going to have to be Dolo.
I would have to say the same.
All right, there you go. You got five starters. Each of them gets to pitch an inning, one through five. What order are you going with?
In a one-game playoff?
Yeah.
Gosh.
You gotta put all five starters in the first five innings.
I'd probably alternate right and righty-lefty. So I'd separate Lodolo and Abbott. That's what I was thinking, second and fourth. Probably Green first. I guess we throw Montas in there in the third. We haven't really said much about him. Is he hurt currently, or is he just not pitching well?
He's pitching all right. It just hears much about him.
This game he threw really well.
Yeah, and probably Graham pitching the fifth. He's a grinder. He's got to get some outs.
I'm gonna go with Graham in the first because his fastball moves so much and these guys are coming cold off the bench to start the game. Then I'm going to go with Abbott in the second because he can play that chess match with you. You got Graham Heat, then you dial it down to Abbott. Then I'm going to go Hunter Green in the third. So you're dialing the heat back up. You're going to another high heat guy. Then in the fourth, I'm going to go with Dolo as the lefty. He's kind of mid-range as far as the heat on his fastball, and then Montas in the fifth.
I'm going to have to start with Lodolo. And then I'm going to have to bring in Montas and put him between Lodolo and Abbott in case things go south. Abbott can stop the bleeding in the third. He's my pivotal pitcher because I think he's the closest to a pitcher that we have. And then to close it out, I'm going to go with Hunter and then the Bulldog, Ashcraft. But I will ask you, Thomas, if you were starting a major league franchise and you got to pluck one player off of the Reds roster, pitcher, position player, take your pick, who would you take?
I think for pure potential, I would take Ellie if I'm starting a team. Sky's the limit with where he can go. If you surround him with – then you can surround him with the other guys. Close second would be Steer for the baseball IQ and just all-around flexibility, versatility that he has.
Change it up. I'll do a position player, and then I'll do a pitcher. That way it's even Stevens on that side of things. Position player, I'm going to go with Friedel because he's the jack of all trades, and he is the definition of a catalyst. I'm sure it's right there in Webster's dictionary, right next to the word catalyst. And you got the defense, you got the bunting, you got the heart and hustle, everything. And then the second one, everyone's going to say it's biased. I'm going to go with Ashcraft simply because I'm going to call this like hockey. You got to have an enforcer on the team. Now, unlike hockey, we're not throwing punches, but you got to have someone that's willing to go in there and whoop some ass, someone that's got the bulldog mentality. To me, it's all more about the mental and the setting an example. As long as your performance is halfway there, I want the mental side of things and the example you set to the rest of the clubhouse if I'm picking one guy to start a franchise with.
I'm going to have to go with Friedel if I'm taking a position player. However, if I'm taking a pitcher, I am going with Abbott. I think there's a lot of options there. Certainly Ashcraft makes a lot of sense. I think Lodolo, not unlike Friedel, if he could stay healthy, would make a lot of sense. But Abbott relies more on, how shall I say, pitching IQ and less on a fastball. And I think that to me, speaks to longevity. All right, Thomas, when is the Benson experience going to end?
I'd say the Benson experiment ends when hopefully Friedel is back on a more permanent basis. I like Fraley. I don't understand why he doesn't get more playing time. I mean, he's
Amen.
He's kind of has that bulldog mentality, and he's had a couple lapses defensively, but he's another one that seems like he gives you a good at bat every time he's up there. Makes contact, he doesn't seem to strike out a lot.
I'll agree with you on Fraley. He gives you some real quality at bats. He understands the zone.
On that note, we're talking about when the Benson experience is going to end. What do the Reds need to do to make the playoffs?
As you said earlier today, more offensively consistent. What was your nickname for the new nickname for the offense?
Icy Hot.
Icy Hot. Okay.
Tell me that's not the perfect nickname.
That's the truth of that offense. What they have? I think they had only two hits today.
And then they're like dropping 9 runs the next day. It's like, why don't you guys spread it out a little bit, man?
You know, it feels like they've wasted a lot of good pitching.
The only problem you're going to run into, though, boys, if they're going to make the playoffs, they got to figure something out about burning through these relievers left and right, because it's the same thing that happened last year, and they get to the back third of the season and they're in the contention to get a wild card spot, and you can't find a reliever that can perform well because their arms are hanging down to the ground.
Didn't I give you that answer earlier in the podcast?
Yeah, I know, but you get my point.
Let's start using middle relievers as middle relievers, and let's have two of them and use them consistently.
And the topic we've hit a couple times now, talking about the young guys. One of the Reds no longer a young team and should be expected to consistently execute the fundamentals of fielding, hitting, base running, etc.
I keep hearing this, it's a young team. Help me out here. What am I missing? I mean, when they no longer young, do they have to be here 4 years, 5 years? They have to be arbitration eligible to no longer be young?
Yeah, I don't know that I'm necessarily considering them young. You're right.
That's what they keep saying. They're young. Young team. They're learning. Who's learning? Espinal? Candyman? India? Stevenson?
I would have considered them a young team last year. I consider the Orioles to be a younger team. Just on the face of it, it feels like. But yeah, everybody says, well, the Orioles are the Reds. They're two years ahead of the Reds, maybe is what they're saying. Is the hope. That's the Reds' hope, to emulate the success the Orioles had last year and this year.
Oof, we got a lot to fix in order for that to happen.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm not sure if I'd consider them young. They've got guys that have been in the big leagues for 3-4-plus years for the most part.
I'd say that's the one thing you could actually say is young might be the starting rotation.
The starting rotation, I would say, is young.
So let me ask you this. This topic came up the other night in a text thread we had. Actually, it was last night, that crazy Dodgers-Giants game. Our buddy was talking about how Roberts, the Dodgers manager, was making such terrible personnel decisions in the game. So you've got all these coaches. You've got players' coaches. You know, you've got the disciplinary coaches. Let me ask you this. As far as managers are concerned in the MLB, do you think there's actually a manager out there that you could say could go win with a small market club that is more of a youthful club, like, say, the Reds or the Orioles, and get to the World Series and win it? Or are most of these guys that are having consistent success as managers, are they benefiting from veteran ball players on the roster that they have either homegrown or picked up through free agency or trade, and the talent and veteran aspect is kind of compensating for a lack of ability on the manager side?
Tough question.
Because everyone wants to give Bell shit, right? That's been made clear by Reds fans. I've said my fair share of stuff that I don't like that Bell does, but that got brought up last night, and I got to thinking about it, and I was like, I don't really know that there's a manager out there that you could say, oh, if we swapped Bell for him, we would definitely be making a run in the playoffs. I don't know that there is one.
Yeah, I think players Players make the manager. Yeah, we've had some text threads with my buddy Sue, and yeah, I don't know that any of us are huge David Bell fans, but I'm not sure, particularly this season, what else he can do.
I don't know. I tend to disagree with you. I think that it is the manager's responsibility to do what is necessary to start minimizing the number of mental mistakes they make. And it's great to be a player's coach or manager, but at some point in time, you have to hold them responsible or accountable. And if you don't do that, they'll continue to make the mistakes over and over. And that's what we're seeing.
Yeah, well, I wish these managers would go back to the way they used to. And like they always say, you know, we talked about it before, pulling pitchers early at a certain pitch count, this, that, and the other. And the big thing now is going through the lineup the third time as the starting pitcher. It's like, dude, these guys are never going to be able to do it if you don't give them a chance
right
to do it and learn how to freaking do it. What happened to the OGs, man? Let them go out there and grind. Yeah, they're going to get tattooed some games, but that's how they learn.
Yeah, I get tired of hearing that. Can't get through the lineup the third time. I mean, look at Ellie. Look at Hunter Green today. How far did he go? And I heard that with Graham, too. The guy went 3.1 innings and 4.2 innings, and everybody's like, well, you can't get through the lineup a third time. Well, now, based on what? You didn't let him face the lineup a third time, so how can you say that?
Yeah, give him a chance to make. Yeah, he's got to learn to make the adjustments, like you said with Abbott, the chess game.
All right, so we've talked about coaching, and now we're talking about pitching. So how do you grade the coaching, the pitching, the defense, the offense?
Yeah, let's do a report card here, Thomas.
Where do you want to start?
Start with Bell.
So for this season, I think I'd give him a B. For the injuries. Which, you know, you can't blame injuries, but you got to deal with them. So
I'll go with a B. I'm going to agree with everything you said, to be honest with you. Long story short, given the injuries this year, he's not been given a fair shake at it.
I'm going to tell you guys this. If they don't stop making the mental mistakes they make in the field, on the bases, and at the plate, it's a hard C or lower for me at the end of this season. I will give him credit for all the things you said. Plus, I think he's done an excellent job building camaraderie in the clubhouse. The team seems to be a pretty tight-knit group of players. But that's only going to get you so far.
All right, starting pitching.
I would give the starting pitching it's hard to say A. It's been pretty good at times. I'd say A minus B plus.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with an A, especially if they're healthy.
Now, I would say that for me, the starting pitching, I mean, they have five or six guys that have done a really good job. I think that as starting pitching goes, they've been pretty consistent. As you said, I mean, the law of large numbers means that from time to time, somebody's going to have a bad game. That's just going to happen. You know, I watched it happen yesterday to the Dodgers.
Agreed. All right. I'll start us off on the next one because it's easy. I like easy answers. Offense. It's sitting at a pretty good, like, C to D range due to lack of consistency. I mean, there's been some flat stretches.
I'd agree with that. Yeah. They're not higher than a C. I mean, yeah, the Icy Hot. Or I responded to your text said seesaw. I mean, that's – I don't know if that's average, but this St. Louis series, I think, was a microcosm of the season. They're shut out twice. They throw up 11 in one game and 9 in the other game.
I would have to agree with the two of you. I would give them a C. I don't think I'd go any lower. I don't think I'd go any higher. Look, they've had some challenges. It doesn't help you when McLean's not here, when Friedel's hurt. I get all that. You know, they need to cut down on their strikeouts, and they need to start swinging for contact. And I believe, again, referring to the broadcast of today, you know, it's the Cowboy was talking about the fact if you come in swinging for the fence every time, you're going to strike out more often than not.
All right, last one. Defense.
I can't go higher than a C on defense and maybe a C minus.
So I'm going to agree with the C, but I'm just going to sum this up. What I'm hearing is you take all these categories and you average them out. We're saying the Reds are sitting about a C right now, which would be average.
I would say they're average. I mean, the record kind of indicates that.
I would say that the performance of the team is average overall compared to their peer group, but factoring in all of the obstacles they've had to overcome with injuries or suspensions, they've done as well as you could expect.
I'll agree with that.
Yep, that's a good point.
I hate to harp on it, but it would be, I think they could possibly be above average today if they would just minimize the mental errors.
Fair point, fair point. All right, we're going to do some off-the-cuff lightning round questions. I want to start with this. If you're Nick Craw and or Bob Castellini, at the trade deadline this year, are you a buyer, a seller, or staying put?
I think I'm staying put.
I will hold.
Okay, I'm staying put too. But I can tell you if they do anything, here's what they're going to do. They're going to make some kind of minor small trade to make the fans happier a little bit, or attempt to make them happy, to make it look like they did something to increase their odds. That's my prediction on it. Now, they did that last year with Sam Maul, but that was actually a good ad, especially if you look at Maul's performance since he came over last year.
Yeah, they needed to get a left-hander last year.
Yeah. All right, number two, you're the backflip kid. Are you landing the face dive after the taser more gracefully or less gracefully than he did?
Oh, I'm dropping like a sack of potatoes.
Yeah, I think he let loose with his bowels when the taser hit him too. At least that's what I'd heard. And he spent the night in jail in those clothes because he still had the Johnny Bench jersey on the when he was arraigned. I think it all gets settled sometime here in July. But did you see what Johnny Bench did with the picture when the taser's hitting him?
Uh-uh.
Oh, he said "to Cincinnati's finest, great catch," signed to Johnny Bench because he was wearing a Johnny Bench jersey.
That's awesome. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you for tuning in this week. Next week, we got Kevin Berman back on board, and we're going to talk about compensation as it relates to all of pro sports, not just baseball. It's going to be a fun conversation, so we will see you next week. Whatever, whatever. Over and out.